still counting my blessings.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another very special episode of Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio for the Almighty. And we invite you to join us to go more deeply into this great adventure of marriage and family at ilovemyfamily.us. We invite you to carve out the time to grow in prayer and conversation together by using the Live It Gathering Guide.
This is, by the way, the yearning, the deepest yearning of every human person for intimacy, to be known and to know. And God gives families to be that occasion. And because of that, it's the most difficult thing, right? The enemy doesn't like that. And our families are the most difficult places to do that because we know each other, right? We see each other day in and day out. You know, this stats demonstrate that this is the highest level of depression, despair, and suicide in recorded history. And that is not select to non-Catholic, you know, atheist, agnostic families. You and I both know, who are listening here, tragic stories of surprising children who've either attempted to take their lives or just horrifically have taken their lives. Why does that happen? Well, there's a whole host of reasons, but the number one thing is in our hands, and that is, are we making time for deep, meaningful connection for them? And that's what this Live It Gathering Guide does. It creates a context where we gather our families together. We overcome resistance. We gather together to talk and pray. And again, we provide that Live It Gathering Guide at ilovemyfamily.us.
Let's begin in prayer, Greg.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you see us right now. The spinning wheels of our work, the challenges, the loose pieces. You see the things that we're worried about in our home. You see the tensions. You see the battles, perhaps, or the arguments we've recently had that are kind of leaving a cloud over us. You see it all. And Lord, we just desire wholeness. We desire restoration. We desire healing. And we come to you right now in this moment seeking you, God, and praying for the grace to trust in you, Jesus, that what you call us to, in intimacy with you, that you pour forth grace that is transformative and powerful. And we humble ourselves when we come before you and say, Lord, I can't do it. I need your grace. I want to cooperate with you. I humble myself. I recognize my incompletion. I recognize my imperfection. I recognize my sin. I confess it before you, God, and before my family. I want you to be Lord. I want you to be Lord over all. And we give you permission in this moment, in this new year, right now, to declare, make this a new moment of grace, a new moment of awakening to you, God, and letting you have the throne in our souls, in our marriages, in our families, to give you permission, God. Give us your heart for each member of our family. Give us your heart for our spouse. Give us your heart for our children. Above every other pursuit, God, may we desire to have your heart for these loved ones whom you've given us to love to life. We ask this in your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So we got this new format that we're working with here, kind of three main aspects to it. One is we want to just share with you a little bit of life, a little bit of our life, and little things that are happening in the Schleter home. And secondly, we definitely want to take up in this kind of partnership with CatholicVote.org, The Loop, identify some prominent news issues. And we keep emphasizing, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, heaven came to earth, that this landscape of faith is not simply on our knees. It is certainly there, but it overflows into real circumstances that we must be informed about and engaged. So that's the second part. And then we conclude in a powerful engagement of this coming Sunday's readings, because that's the most consequential news that there is that ought to speak to our hearts. And we come with our need, right? God made us, if you will, impoverished so that he'd be our provision. So we anticipate that great grace of the sacraments this coming Sunday, hopefully as many days as we can, even during the weekday, we can do that. But certainly Sunday, we want to be fed by his holy word. So, Steph.
Yes, love.
This past week, of course, we had the March for Life. It was kind of, I think, consequential here, the second year in a row where Roe v. Wade has been overturned, which has turned the battle really to us, because Roe v. Wade was the law of the land, making abortion legal through 9 months of pregnancy for any reason. Now it turns to the states, which is to say it's in the hands of those of us who can vote, who can make a difference at local levels. So this year kind of continues that journey. And when we get to the loop, we're going to talk about maybe some recent consequential stories about that. But I don't know, how is it hitting you?
So the first thing that comes to mind is just the whole, I'm filled with so many thoughts and emotions about this because, you know, as you said, it was years and years and 50 years, right? Of marching, of fighting, yeah. of praying, of meeting with our legislative peoples and just all of that. And still feeling all the feels, as they say, of the devastating vote in Ohio. And fighting with sadness and anger and, you know, the whole issue one thing and just the line of, okay, we're still in the fight. We still need to be on our knees for sure. We still need to be active in protecting the unborn and supporting the mothers and fathers and all of that. But it really does come down to the heart, right? You know, people love to say, you know, we need to make abortion absolutely unthinkable. Mm-hmm. We need to change hearts, not just laws. And, you know, they kind of used to just kind of those lines in particular fade into the back, you know, like I believed them, but it was still kind of like, you know, no, like just let's get out there and change and, you know, all of that. And, you know, the novenas and the fasting. And again, all of that is still so important. But I really do think it comes down to changing hearts and how do we do that? And it continues to come back to the family.
Yes.
Right. So, and we can talk about that more if you like, or just kind of leave it at that. I know we'll touch on it in different ways throughout this episode. But, you know, and where does that begin? Personal holiness, personal relationship with the Lord. Those of us who are blessed in the vocation of marriage, right? What does that look like in our marriage with our spouse? Are we praying with, for, and over? Are we leaning into growing in virtue, you know, next family, right? And overflowing into the world for priests, you know, the same thing in that beautiful vocation, that personal holiness. And so like looking at that, that is so key. That is so key. You know, for me personally, it's the anniversary of our mom's passing who, you know, died on the way to the March for Life 40 something
1976
years ago, whatever that number is. So just, you know, reminded of what she gave for that and all that that means in our family, and to watch how her witness and my father's witness, God rest both of their souls, you know, kind of has flowed down through generations, literally, and other people who, you know, even though it was that many years ago, there's still people who come up to me even now who talk about the impact that my mother and father had in their life in regards to the pro-life movement and all of that and the way that they lived their lives. So those are just some random thoughts. I don't know where I was going with it.
No, it's good. I do think that we are challenged as Christians to true love, which is to say empathy. John Paul II spoke of this in his wonderful work, Love and Responsibility, when he was just the preeminent Karl Wojtyla. But magnanimity is, can we enter into the heart and mind of those in crisis? To me, that actually is the beginning point. The beginning point is not let's get out and rally and, you know, fight for the laws and do these tactical things on the surface, which are all important because they are where abortion can be, you know, tactically stopped for the moment. The real challenge is for us to go deeper and to be attuned to that woman right now, as I speak, who discovered she's pregnant. Her lifestyle is what it is. It happened the way it happened. But can we enter into that realm of her fears, insecurities? Can we enter into the realm of knowing that probably woven into that is some level of rejection, whether her family of origin are feeling less than who she really is, a daughter of God in Jesus Christ, to really understand that beyond just these words, right? Beyond cliche. Because I think there's a gift if we can enter, like even right now, Lord, open my mind and my heart to connect with women right now who are battling with decision. Because it'll transform me to be mindful. The gospel is not just about narratives. The gospel is not just about like easy words that we that roll off our tongue, and I'd even say robotic compliance with this ethical world. Now, all of that is important, right? To comply, to faithfully obey and follow, whether we feel it or not. Yes, absolutely true. But there's a heart of the gospel. There's a heart of the gospel that is about real people, real human beings. And oh, by the way, those that we see when we pass in the stores, when we're on the streets, our neighbors, like to open our eyes to see, can I see them, God, with your eyes and enter into where they're at? Because it's going to form me to have some, when I say compassion, I don't mean giving them permission. I mean, understand that battle and that plight. And I do think this, I'm going to throw this out there. I do think that our language is missing in that connectivity. Like it's all the difference between somebody feeling truly like you understand them, care for them, or eyeball to eyeball with them, willing to sit down, have a cup of coffee, be concerned without judgment. And I mean capital J, because it's impossible not to small J if you'll judge. We're under that. But to truly like open our hearts and minds and the look, the gaze, many of the saints spoke about the G-A-Z-E, gaze, the gaze of love. Like Jesus gives us the gaze of love that sees to our soul and says, look, I get it. I get the swirling maelstrom of all that you've been dealing with, and I love you, and I want you to know that love for you. That's the superpower. I mean, that's a superpower that we have as Catholics, and I think we need to rediscover, without which it's reduced to just, again, facile narratives that are scaffolding, and they just fall. Nobody connects with those. If we're going to love our world back to life again, I think it's going to be maybe even our personally looking in our world, personal lives, and seeing how am I broken that keeps me from having that real human connectivity. What ways have caused me to be maybe just this kind of Catholic robot type? I'm just being really candid right now. I think it's so easy for some of us who are in the Catholic Christian faith to become robot types where we know the story, we know the ethical battle, we can fight it, but are we willing to get, as Christ did, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to grasp, but took on flesh and blood. Philippians 2 is called the kenosis narrative. He emptied himself. Are we doing and willing to do what Christ does? Are we willing to see people and enter into that? So if you're listening right now, if you switched over from a rock station or a country station or whatever, and you're hearing me right now, hear me apologize as a very convicted Catholic of the ways in which all you've been hit by your life is sort of a rigorous rule judgmentalism towards you, where you feel cast upon you condemnation that leaves you in a cloud of shame that's inapproachable. I apologize for any part or role that we've played in that, or any Catholic has played in that, because I want you to know at the very heart of this, we are truly like with you. We are truly seeking the good and the beautiful and the true, and we fail, and we have failed, and we'll continue to fail. At the heart of it is we are incomplete. We've made decisions that have caused wounds for us and others in our lives. We are with you in that. We're striving, though, for a confidence or a belief that there's more than what this world is offering us, that there's a fullness, there's a richness, that we can truly be known and loved and have trust and confidence, certainly in one person, in God, in Jesus, that reality, that's a reality. And we aspire to that. That's what I say when I say I'm a Catholic and I'm a Christian. I aspire to the fullness of my human nature in Christ, which is one of authentic love, authentic bearing with one another, authentic journeying with one another, no matter where you're at. And if you're in need of just chatting with somebody about that, if you're hearing this right now and you just, maybe you're angry, like maybe you're ready to switch this off, but I just want to say I genuinely care, and we welcome you. Actually, I'm going to say into our living room, we welcome you. If you like beer, you like beverages, we will invite you. We want to hear you. We want to chat with you. We want to interact with you. That is the heart of everything we're about as a movement, as Catholics, an open door occasion to connect with you heart to heart and journey together without capital J judgment. If I'm speaking to you right now, if this is reaching you in some way, send me an email, alive@massimpact.us, alive@massimpact.us, because you right now who are hearing are the primary reason we exist. To connect and journey together in Christ in faith.
Amen. Amen, amen. Our son Joseph, as many of you know, leads Damascus Worship. And so they were actually invited to lead praise and worship at the Life Fest mm-hmm. prior to the march. So he texted all of us, great. There are few things as amazing in the world as seeing swarms of Sisters of Life in a building, a number of them with official headsets and walkie-talkies. Really, so I just awesome. Thought that was, we love the Sisters of Life, of course. And so just kind of the delight in that.
As I was running this morning, I was thinking about...
Who was chasing you?
Health. thinking about the many large events that we've had in our lives, the men's conference, the women's conference, the pro-life thing, all of that is just so fantastic. It is so good because there's a reverberation in the United States actually that surpasses many places in the world. Mm-hmm. You talk about Europe and they marvel that we have this kind of formidability in our country. So many channels, right? Podcasts, you have your favorite, I have my favorites, and they keep growing in number of good people who are taking to the air and talking about faith. So the seeds being planted and thrown out there are just abundant. And we were blessed to meet with Father Ricardo and Mary, just delightful this past Friday, just to connect on so many regards, but in particular, resonating, reverberating about this rescue project, home edition that we are partnering with them in seeking homes, people like you and me to welcome people in their homes. And this is kind of a first pioneering beta season of 9 weeks where we are gathering on a weekly basis. You can check out more at catholicrevival.us. But back to my main thing. All these big events we've been about and put so much energy and time. And I think the big question an honest person has to ask who puts so much into this is, how is its success measured? What questions do you ask that reveal, not was it worth it, because we know the Holy Spirit operates beyond our calculation. And we know just saying yes and gathering people together is magnificent. I'm just going to cut to the chase and tell you my thoughts. I think number one, it's measured by the degree to which we take those seeds and intentionally cultivate them where it matters most. And where it matters most is personally, does it result in an increase of my daily prayer encounter time with Christ? Does it result in connection with my spouse? Does it result in my spouse and I making our homes places of ever-deepening encounter? It's a lot of words and it maybe sounds narrative, but just here's an image. If we love those events, Crucio, Chirp, Ignite, you know, all these big things, and if they touched our hearts, there's a bit of a lie that the enemy whispers that says, that was limited to that place, that was limited to that event, and now it's done, and now you just speak of it, oh, I did my such and such retreat or event back and blah, blah, blah. No, that's a lie to limit the power of the Holy Spirit and what he offers to a fleeting weekend or a fleeting week or whatever it was. God desires that manifestation of his presence that was at that weekend to be the defining reality of our homes. Let me say that again. The power that you experience at any given event, God desires our homes to be that defining reality. And I'll say that what stands in the way, you can decide, I don't know, what's for each person, it may be different, but there's something that seems to be in this world today standing in the way of those of us who go on these events from realizing they are meant to give us an architecture, an image, a vision of the way our marriages and homes ought to be. And I think of people who are about solving problems, and I mean the big problems in our country, if we truly believe it begins in the home, this is the number one problem. What will it take to breach the great chasm from the great event, hearing it, nodding our head, the great homily, from hearing it to actually living it and making it happen? And I'm going to submit that that's what we're about. It's what we've been about from the beginning, trying to give a vision and tools and simple tactical things. And we've seen it bear out over 10 years. Those who actually engage this, who believe enough that God desires this of their homes and to take the steps to do it, we see the tremendous impact it has in their children becoming compelling disciples into adulthood, that they choose faith. They choose the in terms of the person, their vocation, whether marriage, priesthood, whatever, religious life. The second thing I want to say is, as you invoke the Sisters for Life, is a key theme that you know you and I have been praying about a lot, and that is that God desires us to do this in community. Like, he desires us to be with people. Though we have our jobs and they're unique, all of you who are listening, and our kids go to schools and whatever, we have different pictures, you know, facets of the way it looks in our homes. But in the midst of that, God desires that we are doing it more formidably together, praying together, gathering together. And I'll say I am a student, if you will, at those communities, Catholic communities in particular, that have done this very well. Ann Arbor, Christ the King, a lot of charismatic communities. They don't necessarily need to be that, but so many communities that evidence the vitality, the life, the joy, the success, have said yes to this. They've said yes to, we need to more regularly in a committed way, not kind of, sort of, well, if I feel like it, or I'm going to maybe Thursday. No, they make solid commitments to gather together. I'll say this one word, apostolate. From the beginning of our movement, we have felt the DNA of it has leading us towards a sense of apostolate, a sense of a meaningful, committed gathering together, given the shape of our unique worlds, to talk and pray and engage and be formed by godly spiritual people. I'll give you some sense of that. I think it was emerged in our conversation with some of the friars of the renewal. They have, some of these are third orders, is what it is, a lay apostolate that corresponds to a religious order. I've had a sense, and I mean, just asking you who are listening to pray with us into this, we have such a meaningful connection with the friars of the renewal. We have felt as a movement that, you know, we want to take steps to explore an apostolate level of community in this area, this Toledo area, if not throughout the country, in partnership with the Friars of the Renewal, because we feel like their charism and the authenticity, the wholeness, the pursuit, there's so many facets that they have that I think we really resonate with and we want to explore. So all that, Steph, a fire hosing from talking about that event and desiring, just as you describe it, I picture the arena, we weren't there, but desiring that all these people who went there could have a hope that what they experienced there need not end, that they'd have a vision that there are places throughout the country that are seeking to believe enough in the seeds planted that they can be lived, without which, how can it not lead to languishing? How can it not lead to a sense of, you know, what's the point? I just cycle through, as you said, Catholic program junkiedom. You know, people, when we experience the vitality of God's presence, can we not together as a people in this year, 2024, do we not see that we absolutely have to go in this direction of how can we be in a more meaningful, committed way, united with people in becoming saints, in husbands and wives making each other saints and children? Oh, by the way, that's in the catechism, that's in the essence of our faith throughout the centuries. That's the whole purpose of family. It's the whole purpose of community.
So I'm going to jump back to the Rescue Project, which we've obviously been talking about over the last number of weeks and such. I invite you, encourage you, even if you're not able to or quite ready to or whatever that placeholder is for you, just do it by yourself. Mm. Do it with your spouse. Do it with your older children. Do it.
What is it?
With a friend, the Rescue Project series. So if you go to... you can Google Rescue Project. I should know the URL. But
you'd find it at our catholicrevival.us. The links are pretty prominent.
Just watch these videos. The questions are all online. You can order a book from them, Acts 29. It's so much on my heart hearing you, Greg, listening to all that you're saying. Now is the time, mm-hmm. right? And so if for whatever reason, scheduling this, that, you can do it in your home, like with one other person, or watch it by yourself and connect with somebody about it, to pray together, you know, how the Lord moved you, how the Lord spoke to you, what jumped out at you, and move from there. And you mentioned the Livid Gathering Guide. Mm-hmm. Gosh, yes. All that we've been, you know, trying to pour ourselves into and promote, if you will, to grow in holiness together, you know, it is the answer in so many ways to, and then what, right? Mm. So to use both of those together, Rescue Project Home Edition, do it in your homes. Mm. Again, if you're still interested in trying to connect with the group, reach out to us, alive@massimpact.us, but just do it and then follow it up with that set aside time to do the Livid Gathering Guide. It's so compatible. Mm-hmm. You know, after your Acts retreat, after whatever it is, go to ilovemyfamily.us. Let that be a not just a tool, but a source of grace for you to continue the journey to grow. It's not a one and done kind of mm-hmm. thing. And I think too often, especially in this age where we have so many resources, you know, it's so easy to jump from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and be filled with things instead of being filled with Christ. Mm-hmm. He desires, longs for that relationship with us. And in our deepest of hearts, it's there in us too. And sometimes it pops up a little bit stronger than others. But as we kind of peel away all the junk, that's what's there. So just felt compelled to say that. On a different note, also as you were talking and thinking of home and thinking of families and thinking of all that the Lord desires them to be, I have a little family story. Can I share?
Great. Okay. We need a good family story.
Okay. So this is the first that Greg is hearing it also. So
He
gets to react firsthand here. So I was talking with our daughter, Annie, and she and her husband, Colin, and their little almost two-year-old Magdalena just got back from being out of town for some time away and such. And mid-week of their time away or so, Annie was sharing with me that she just felt so, this one day in particular, just kind of grumpy and irritated, you know, just all the stuff, but more than just, you know, some needing to practice virtue maybe, but being surrounded with such goodness and gift and whatever, and just was just feeling just off and not right and little things complete, you know, just whatever. So anyway, she said at one point she was praying. It was like, I am under spiritual attack. And she shared, she said, I'm not usually one who, like, I know spiritual attack, you know, we're in the battle, if you will, all the time, but doesn't go there very quickly to, especially to use it as an excuse, right, for our lack of virtue and needing to grow. So she just, it just resonated with her, like, yes, you know. And so she said she had shared it with her husband and they prayed together and he prayed over her. And
it's beautiful.
Just very moving as she's sharing this, right, because this has been our life work, if you will. So when your children are sharing what you've tried to do and anyway, so moved by that in and of itself. And she said shortly thereafter, our little Magdalena, was looking out through the glass doors and was totally smiling and was like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And like smiley and kind of, you know, I could embellish it a little bit. I'll add some stuff because I don't remember all the details, but definitely taken and, you know, waving and, you know, the whole thing. And Annie said, you see like Jesus? And she's like, see Jesus. And she said, you see Jesus? And Magdalena said, yes. And Mama Mary. And Annie said, and Mama Mary also? And Magdalena's like, yes, yes. And Annie said, are they talking to you? And she said, yes. And Annie said, what are they saying? And she said, I love you, Magdalena. And so, you know, again, we believe, we've seen it with our children, we've seen it with other children. They are so attuned, right, to the spiritual happenings around us. But what a beautiful reminder, Annie said, that through, you know, that those childlike eyes, that this is what she experienced. And it was the Lord saying through Magdalena to them, like, we're protecting you. We are here. We got this kind of thing. So I just thought that was beautiful. So let that be an encouragement in that realm of acknowledging one's spaces, right? Reaching out to your spouse or family member and saying, I'm struggling. I need you to pray with me, for me, and over me right now. And
yes, very powerful.
And then just to be aware with those childlike eyes of the ways that the Lord, that you can see his presence, see him protecting. You may not experience him like little Magdalena did, but just knowing. And I've been reconvicted. You had mentioned the Friars also. Just, they were such a great reminder to all of us, the power of our guardian angels, right? And they talked a lot about that. And even to the point where, you know, Father John Anthony would come in and he'd acknowledge everybody's guardian angels in the room, you know, like, that's awesome.
To begin his talk and to say, yes. I asked them to be with us and anoint our minds and hearts. Yes.
Yes. So let this also be an encouragement to all of us to use
to avail to
the great gifts that we have in our guardian angels that the Lord has blessed us with.
Amazing, Steph. I love that. And I'm very moved by that. And which of us parents, again, just emphasize, we may gloss over these things, the goodness of our children. And so some of you parents or grandparents are maybe frustrated that your children have left the church. Certainly You're going to be Monica's, and we'll be Monica's with you and praying them back to life. The story is not over. It's not written. So number one is have hope. But number two, see the good. Like, see the good aspects, their kindness, their goodness, mm-hmm. and thank God for those things. You know, Stephen,
I was going to tell one more story.
Go ahead. When we were with Father Ricardo on Friday, there were many tidbits at his beautiful headquarters up there.
Home.
You say home.
Well, that's what they call it.
Okay,
they
don't home. Want it to be. And it feels like a home. Yeah. Chapel, beautiful mass, adoration. Anyways, among the many bits of wisdom that he imparted, one was kind of a consoling sort of thing in our mission and ministry that he related to personally. And in so many words, he said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but, you know, we are about the willing. We're about the willing. Now, what he doesn't mean is he's giving up on throwing the net out far and wide. The Lord knows his books, their books and writing and reaching and is persistent. But they're going after the 12. Like, they're going after those who are doing more than a kind of sort of maybe on Thursday, or if I have a 9-week series and I think about it. And I'm, you know, I'm going to say similarly, we're kind of done with a kind of sort of Catholic. The world needs committed, engaged, I'm on board, I'm part of this, I want to make it better, and I want to demonstrate with my commitment that this is sacred. Beginning in your own home with that Live It Gathering Guide, I want to say it starts there, and even prior to that, your daily prayer life. Like, kind of sort of Catholicism, or it also trends toward prima donna Catholicism, by the way. What's that? These big events, and we go because it's so-and-so speaking, or so-and-so who is the author, whatever the case may be. It's total like scaffolding of the kingdom, because people are tuned into more a popular quality than the heart of God, who just wants us to know him and know we're called to be in the game. So we are really seeking to be kindred with those who are willing to say, yes, I want to be a saint. You know, I want to really be encouraged on a daily basis to pray. I want to be encouraged in my relationship with my spouse and to discover those streams of living water in our daily prayer life and praying for each other. I want to see the power of the kingdom alive in our home. And oh, by the way, I want to do more than just say that. I'm actually going to take steps to receive the grace that God gives and be united with people. These are all important things for this to happen. I want to be united with people where I'm going to be encouraged and held accountable to do that. So I'm going to throw this out here to all of you who are listening, knowing that this reaches probably thousands of people. But I also know that only those who are really truly want to make a difference, want to see transformation, are committed and are going to make it happen. Number one is this Rescue Project Home Edition. Even though the deadline was 2 weeks ago, we still have the door open as you hear my voice right now. So CatholicRevival.us, or just send me an email. Better yet, so I know, send me an email at live@massimpact.us. Hey, Greg, I want to do this. Our men's group is meeting Mondays at 6:45 in our home. The women are meeting Thursdays at 8:45 a.m. So 8 weeks, consecutive weeks, experiencing Father Ricardo's Rescue Project Home Edition series. The second thing I'm going to say is we are going to reinitiate what we call Family Room Revival. Or maybe it's Living Room Revival. I think it's Living Room Revival we called it. It's just an hour on Sundays where we gather as families for a time of worship, followed by the proclamation of the gospel, followed by a rosary, and we're done. And we're hoping other families do this also, Living Room Revival. Other families will host other families for this simple format. And if you don't have a guitar, don't lead worship, no big deal. In fact, in ours, we just use the Damascus Worship, which have the lyrics right there. You can access it on YouTube. Great classical Catholic hymns that have a bit of a spirit-filled twist to them. Lyrics right there. We just bring up those. There's four or five of them as part of that worship park, because worship is so important. But if you respond to this invitation, say, you know, yeah, my family and I would like to generally commit to Sunday 6:30 to 7:30, send me an email, live@massimpact.us. And since I'm throwing this email out there, we are introducing a new component of just welcoming your questions and comments. Some may make it to what we'll call the mailbag. If you've listened to Daily Wire, other places, maybe there's some good questions that we really want to respond to, questions that you have. Send us those questions. Send us those comments. Again, live@massimpact.us.
So a couple of different comments from earlier when you, at the beginning of that.
Fire hose number four.
No. So just, I don't even want to call it a clarification, but when you said about Father Ricardo and working with the willing, and just wanted to emphasize that, yes, it is about, the invitation is always there. Those opportunities to invite others, to encourage others on every, I mean, that's for them, right? Rescue Project. It's about rescuing anybody and everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same with us, right? With the Livid Gathering Guide is open. You know, it's not like you have to do it X number of times in order to access it or whatever that is. But the whole idea of working with the willing, and I throw this out too as an encouragement to you in evangelization and whatever that looks like in your world, in your homes, at your places of work, at school, wherever the Lord has you, that who are those people who are willing? And that's where you pour yourself into. For Acts 29, they do so much with priests and bishops. So for example, their invitation is always there to work together, to help them to grow in the ways to really foster a deepening of what it means to be church, right? But the you can't force yourself on on everybody, right? So it is those priests, those bishops, for us, you know, families and couples and whatever, who are like, yes, please, you know, walk with us, help us, teach us. That that we've come to know, and as Father Ricardo encouraged, like that's the Lord brought those people there, like work with the willing and always be open to the to others, right? So just wanted to clarify, it's not a writing off in case anybody took what Greg said the wrong way.
I'm going to push back a little bit and just say the gospel, when he sends his disciples out two by two, he says, if they don't receive you, shake the dust from your shoes as you depart the city. I think we're too nicey-nice about what the gospel clearly says. This is not me, angsty Greg, or Steph, or Father Ricardo, or whomever the case. There is a harsh side to the gospel. Christ reveals a truth, and he invites us to embrace it. And that standard of what it means to be Catholic is more than just, I receive sacraments and assent to things and vote right ways. Read Matthew 7:21. Many will come in my name and say, look at these great things we did. We healed the sick, raised the dead, went to Mass, prayed our rosaries, did our novenas. And they will hear those horrible words, depart from me, I never knew you. The heart of that word to know is a conjugal verb. It's the same verb that you find in Luke, where Mary says to the angel, you know, how can this be? I do not know man. It's like, do we have this deep intimacy with Christ? Is the standard of the gospel. And we have hope in God's mercy, of course, but why shoot for purgatory? Typically, we end up lower than what we shoot for, by the way. Hell is real. People go there. And, you know, if you read the gospel, there were many believers, the religious class, who Christ recognized were way off the mark. I mean, we're expecting and experiencing in this world today a major shakeup reverberating throughout culture in a way it never has before. Now, Greg, there were times in history where there were, you know, tyrants and kings doing immoral things, but it's never been the case where the masses of people agreed to kill its own people or allow their young people to have sex changes or to leave churches where God's grace and presence is so present. This is unprecedented in human history. And we got to ask the question, well, is this just an exemplification of the absence of real faith among those of us who call ourselves Christians and Catholics? Back to the main point, there is a line in the road. There are berms lining it to heaven, and we don't create those. We are created by them and in them. God gives them to us. And if you hit it going 60 miles an hour, you're going to get crashed. So Father Ricardo, I think, and others are simply recognizing leaders throughout the country, as we see this world go the direction it is, if we look at what have been sources of revival, it begins among those who have truly said, Lord, I need you. I mean, you may have money, provision, all of, you know, that the world can provide, but in the core of their hearts, the commonality is, God, I need you. Like, I am nothing without you. Like that Solomon wisdom vanity, all is vanity. I've got everything. He had 700 concubines and everything, but he had the wisdom, the core wisdom to say, this means nothing without you. I need you. And that inspires a willingness to give everything for the kingdom, to be united with people who are saying, I recognize the nature of my commitments in my marriage, personal life, marriage and family. And I want to be with a community that's going to make those commitments for the kingdom.
So I don't necessarily disagree with any of that. My point is only that the invite is always there. So yes, there are certainly moments when it's like, this dust cannot get off my feet quickly enough. But the whole thing of always invite, always be open, but focus on the willing that the Lord has put in your path, who have reached out to, and again, it's not surrounding yourself only with people on the same page. It's growing together. It's working together. It's learning from each other. It's praying for God to reveal his plan together and all of those things. So I think you hit on a lot of other aspects of that for sure. So, just wanted to comment too on, you had mentioned about emailing for different groups and the times that we have. If there is enough interest, we will form more groups. We know that there
100%.
Are handfuls of other people meeting in various ways and in various areas. But if, you know, those times don't work for you and we have others who are interested, we are more than happy to add different times for us to host in our home. So let us know that too, alive@massimpact.us.
Wonderful. We're now shifting to The Loop, which is a daily, easy to consume in 4 or 5 minutes, tidbits on compelling news that Catholics ought to be informed of and educated of so that we can be heralds, advocates of the gospel, which again is not isolated from the world. It deals with the events of the world, politics, economics. If you're Catholic and you profess Catholicism, if you go to Mass, it's played out in this arena. So here's a few tidbits. Again, we are partnering with The Loop, Catholic.org, CatholicVote.org, and some of the prominent ones over the last week. First of all, encourage you to watch a video with the headline Stats That Stop Abortion. Marriage is the best protector of unborn babies, and the most recent stats prove it. It says, watch this video from President of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, Ryan Anderson, to learn why rebuilding a culture of marriage will ultimately rebuild a culture of life. And the only commentary we need to say is everything we've been saying up to this point. Yes. Marriage and family, get in the game. And I do have to say this, that colors in this entire program and why we're reading these tidbits is the world is tripping over the low bar set by the church. The world is tripping over a low bar set by the church. Think about that. If we're not growing intentionally, regularly, it's all of us. We are all church. And the bar is so low that we're not experiencing the transformation Christ promised would happen if we embraced him. Something is missing. When he said in Luke 10:49, I've come to set the earth on fire and how I wish it were already ablaze. That was 2,000 years ago, people. He was giving us his vision and the promise of his power. Does Christ lie? Does he not fulfill his promises? He's pouring out all that is needed to set the world ablaze in his love. So the question ought to be, well, why isn't it happening? Because our minds and hearts are not fixed on and receiving the grace he wants to outpour for transformation of the world. I'll repeat, the world is tripping over the low bar set by the church, and at least we want to play a small role in our imperfection, hand in the air, yes. In spite of all that, I want to say, God, what is that bar? What is that truth that I want to aspire to? I don't want to just settle because the neighbors or those in my parish think it's okay just to go to Mass. Oh, by the way, those numbers keep going down because we settle for that low bar. The numbers keep going down year after year. I want to say no more than 15 to 20% of professed Catholics are in church. And all of you know people who are like, I want nothing to do with the church because it's lost its witness of power. Why go to some place that's just another Catholic hot tub for an hour where I feel good about myself, fulfilling some kind of insurance policy, but it's not impacting my heart, my mind, my life, overflowing into my marriage and my family? The world is tripping over the low bar set by the church. Number two, Steph.
House moves to free up funding for pregnancy centers. The House on Thursday moved to block the Biden administration from restricting funds for pregnancy resource centers. The Supporting Pregnant and Parenting Women and Families Act passed with a vote of 214 to 208. It now goes to the Democratic-controlled Senate, where it will face stiff opposition. So again, be aware of that, know that piece of education, of knowledge, so that we can more specifically and intentionally pray into that.
And think of the logic at the heart of this. If you're truly pro-choice, and you think, well, I wouldn't do it myself, but I can't tell others not to. In theory, you're saying, I think it ought to be an option. All pregnancy centers are doing is availing to that option. They're not forcing, they're not compelling, they're opening the door to the option to have life and providing the loving, caring support for those women in those crisis situations to provide for that choice. Shouldn't somebody who professes to be pro-choice support pregnancy centers as one of those choices? Just saying. Item number three, powerful. LGBTQ ministry and the hard truth. Recent Catholic convert Nancy Charles gives a powerful testimony about a dark time when only one person, her brother Joshua Charles, would give her the saving truth. Nancy struggles with same-sex attraction, and she believes the no-nonsense five-page letter her brother sent her during her lowest point represents exactly what pro-LGBTQ ministries are missing. Go and read that again, CatholicVote.org. Click on the loop. It was an article from January 18th. And gosh, don't we need to hear this? Again, I began in the beginning saying, below the surface of politics and economics and all that is the heart of real people who are struggling with real things. And that's why I love this story.
And again, great witness of speaking the truth in love, mm-hmm. right? So the truth needs to be spoken, the love behind it in the way someone recently said, you can be brutally honest without being brutal.
Indeed. So, number four.
Pope Francis said, I like to think of hell as being empty. Pope Francis on Sunday said he personally hopes that hell is empty, sparking a new round of debate about Catholic teachings on damnation. This isn't dogma, just my thought. He said, I'd like to think of hell as being empty. And I hope it is what he said, which in and of itself is a merciful take, right? Hope. He's not saying it's dogma. Thank goodness. My no comment is my comment.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a great article that describes this, and there are many implications for Christ's words that clearly speak of those who choose against him and that go to hell. You very clearly, it is a place that exists and people go there through the centuries. Again, private revelation that resonate with public revelation. We're not obliged to hold those, but, you know, have been given visions of hell and people in hell. And really, you know, for those who say, why would God, you know, ever send somebody to hell? What a tyrant. I want to invoke great wisdom from Father Michael Schmitz that remains with me. And this is, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, a short 5-minute clip. And in so many words, he says, hell is the greatest indication that God is not a tyrant. Hell is the greatest indication that God is not a tyrant. Now follow this logic. Hell is an indication that God is not a tyrant because God allows us to choose. He doesn't force us to choose, which means if he allows us to choose, he wants us to choose for him. That's the very nature of love. But he also allows us to choose against him. And by definition, choosing against him is hell. Many are living in a kind of state of hell already on earth. Well, there's still hope. There's still a chance while we're on this earth, while we still have time. But that is the reality of the landscape of a loving God. If he forced us, he would be a tyrant. So I'll repeat it again. Hell is the greatest indication that God is not a tyrant, a loving God. And the way the enemy today, a few days ago, the scripture passage spoke of the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit as the unforgivable sin. And there's been a lot of thought, commentary about that. But I think it's when you know fully that what Christ gives us is to line the path to great intimacy with God and all eternity, to live our nature in God. For those who know that, but prophesy against it, who teach against, who twist words, knowing that truth, because they want to pave the way to hell, that is the kind of unforgivable sin because it is a direct rejection, rebellion. That's why Lucifer and his minions saw the truth and they rejected it anyways. Well, today we're kind of in a situation, though we are not, we don't have preternatural knowledge. We don't have the knowledge of the angels, from the heavenly realms. We don't have the full knowledge. But on this side of things, we kind of see the twisting of good is evil. Evil is good. We heard in scripture that would happen. Love is whatever anybody wants it to mean. These words correspond to realities that we don't determine, but in whom we are determined. Words matter. And it's important, I think, in the midst of this to realize hell is a word that matters. And Dr. Ralph Martin, I think, masterfully responds to this by saying in so many words, you know, what I'm saying to you here, that we can choose for or against God. There are people in hell. And if we believe that we can just choose whatever we want and God is just going to welcome us into this place of eternal bliss corresponding to our souls, first of all, it's a contradiction. It's an inherent contradiction. But what's the point of evangelization? What's the point of speaking the truth to those who are on a wayward path and already in hell? What's the hope for them? If we can't convey to them, hey, you know, brother, sister, I see the decisions you're making, and we don't need to say verbally, you're in a kind of hell, but they are, we know this. What is their hope for them to choose otherwise? We read the article, the little tidbit just a moment ago, of the woman battling with strong LGBTQ, whatever, desires, and a letter from her brother speaking truth is exactly what I'm saying. It spoke to her heart. What's the point of that if there's no hell, if there's no acknowledgement of a place other than the place of beatitude in God? So important. Whatever number we're on here, 5. Expert weighs in on the evil of surrogacy. Following Pope Francis's recent denunciation of surrogacy, which, by the way, Greg speaking here, this is phenomenal. Thank you, Pope, for being a herald of this truth. A prominent bioethicist and Catholic moral theologian highlighted that both truth and compassion are needed in the conversation around surrogacy because of how painful the cross of infertility is for couples who long to have children. Steph, a little more populist, last two tidbits here.
This feels like such old news, but in case you missed it, Trump won in Iowa. Woohoo! former President Donald Trump has won the Iowa caucus by a wide margin. So basically, I'm just going to summarize the thing. He won 98 out of the 99 counties, which is a Republican record. And I believe the only other county was won by Nikki Haley, and she got it by one vote. Since that time, also, DeSantis has withdrawn from the race and has come to support, put his backing behind Donald Trump. And just reading, too, this isn't part of our loop. So DeSantis said, which I just admired so much.
You just said DeSantis. You're DeSantis. Appropriating
There's Donald a shout Trump's out. Actually, I had a...
Disparaging.
No, that's sanctimonious. So yeah, DeSantis was a professor I had at Gannon University, I think is where that came from. DeSantis just beautifully said, and again, with great integrity, that he couldn't basically in good conscience anymore ask people's or take people's time and resources when there was no clear path of winning ahead, which
admirable.
Yes, very admirable. So there's a little as we head toward New Hampshire. Go ahead, Greg. Do your what about
New
Bob?
New Hampshire.
There you go. We
Good
shall
movie.
See what happens.
Bob? Bill Murray, great Toledo native.
And in conclusion, why not end with Britney Spears?
Indeed, this is kind of a powerful piece for those of us, which is all of us, who feel the weight of kind of star power. We watch our shows, our programs, our TVs. If a star showed up, we'd see crowds, probably more so than just going to adoration, just making my little comment. We have star worship. So isn't it great when we see those who are so influenced? We need to be praying for them, by the way, also. But when they emerge with truths that speak to the gospel and the truth of our nature, they deserve attention. They deserve prayer. So this from Britney Spears, she cries for pro-life help. Quote, "If it had been left to me, up to me alone, I never would have done it," wrote Britney Spears of her traumatic at-home abortion. Quote, "To this day, it's one of the most agonizing things I have ever experienced in my life," unquote. Mary Fiorito describes how Spears' use of the two deadly drugs, mifepristone and misoprostol, is a story with a clear moral and why it has everything to do with an upcoming Supreme Court case. So, again, back to the beginning of this program, beyond our narratives and our sides and politicization, lose the labels. We need to lose the labels. We need to lose our concepts and narratives as powerful, if you will, in themselves, and get to the heart of real people made in the likeness and image of God in Jesus Christ, made for a fulfillment in Him. You know, a truth that we can't presume to break, only be broken against. And here's a testimony of a superstar, Britney Spears, who's been broken by going against that. How can we open the door for a loving conversation without the judgmental Spears, if you will, that they feel, pardon the pun? How can they experience receptivity, warmth, welcome, conversation. And I will repeat again, any of you have those questions pertaining to what we profess to be true, about faith, about morals, I really genuinely invite you to reach out to us and let's have some time together. Let's hang out. We invite you into our home and just to connect, to understand more fully, to hear you. And any other questions that you may have, again, alive@massimpact.us. So we turn now to the gospel for this coming Sunday. And I'm going to front load it. Again, if you go to ilovemyfamily.us, this is part of our Live It Gathering Guide. And the very first question that we invite groups or families to ask is, what struck you, challenged you, inspired you? What questions did it raise? So we front load. Just think about those questions, if you will, as Stephanie proclaims the short gospel, which is going to be up this coming Sunday.
The gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum. And on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Steph, I'm drawn to the great work of Encounter Ministries. And it really reverberates. It's a good new favorite Greg word, but Damascus, Renewal Ministries, Net, many of these wonderful missionary entities, solidly Catholic, endeavor to understand what does our church teach in the authority of our church and the magisterium about us as Christians of Christ, baptized in him, meant to be little Christ, if you will, in the world. What does the church teach about us being Christ's presence and exercising this kind of power in the world around us? And this could be reserved for a whole episode. We've certainly given testimony over the 6, 7, 8 years of our radio program of examples of exercising this authority and this power. Certainly in this case, over driving out demons over those entrusted to us in those moments and renouncing the work of the enemy. And again, I would differ this from the formal rite of exorcism, being right. Very clear about that.
Clarification.
But I'm saying, though, we have been, it's been conferred upon us, certainly to exercise in the name of Jesus Christ authority over those that God has given us authority over. And I mean healing, transformation. I tell the story of a sister-in-law with a child who is battling some significant things, and they availed to the best of counsel and guidance that if you will, money could provide and good people could provide. The shift came in her response to guidance from a counselor who simply said, "I want to pray with you to take authority in the name of Jesus." And it can't just be, I'm thinking it in my brain or my mind. No, word, verbalize it. To take authority in the name of Jesus Christ over whatever is coming against your daughter. To command in the name of Jesus that it be gone. And it's kind of two movements here. It's commanding in the name of Jesus that it be gone. And secondly, that one be infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is an authority given to the apostles and for sure to those entrusted with authority. You would hear about this from great Catholic exorcists. Father Ripperger has a great book that talks about this. Father Carlos Martins speaks of this.
Deliverance prayers for the
solid
laity.
Catholic stuff. And I'll say, too many of us face the attacks of the enemy with a sword in our sheaths, never pulling it out and never fighting back. That's where I go in, absorbing this gospel.
Good stuff. So let me think. So there are a couple things jumped out to me. The word astonished. I just pray for deepening of my astonishment at the Lord in his words and in his power and in his authority, and not just to gloss over it as a, you know, taken for granted kind of thing. And, you know, to picture it and how they, I'm sure the way that he taught, yes, they used the word authority, but if I filled it out a little bit in my imagination, I'm sure they sensed his love. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they sensed his authenticity. I'm sure they sensed his urgency in response. And so, gosh, you know, like, Lord, make me more authentic, make me more loving. And in the places that you have me to speak and in those conversations with whomever the Lord places in my path. I love also the reminder that here is this unclean spirit, right? This demon, if you will. He acknowledges Jesus as the Holy One of God, right? And so, and yet he's the devil. So again, like, even the devil knows that the Lord is Lord and that God is God, and still tries to spread what he does spread. So I guess that jumped out at me in the sense of, you know, what are the ways that I proclaim Jesus as Lord and acknowledge him, but how does that play out in everyday life? Everything that you said just about, you know, all that Encounter Ministries is about, and the authority that we've been given in particular as parents to pray over our children and to renounce things. Very much recommend the book, Deliverance Prayers for the Laity by Father Ripinger. And also the just the last line, his fame spread everywhere. So fame, you spoke of Britney Spears and, you know, even Father Mike Schmitz, right? And not to compare the two. I don't know who would be flattered more or offended more.
Father Mike could be honored.
But just the whole thing of, you know, are we going beyond fame and really going deeper in faith? So again, for us as Catholics in particular, for all that's out there and, you know, in regards to speakers and programs and talks and podcasts and, ooh, there's Sister so-and-so or Father so-and-so or, you know, this person who's so big in the Catholic world.
Prima donna Christianity.
It's like, yes, but what does that fame mean? How is that fame being, and that's not against them, you know, it's those of us who follow and listen and ooh and ah, perhaps.
A fallen mindset.
So move beyond the fame and go into faith.
Indeed. Folks, we are so blessed to be on this journey with you. Man, we covered a lot over this radio program tonight, and we brought our humanity, you know, vulnerable, particularly maybe me being just unplugged and talking about these things and asking for your mercy, if you will, as you see maybe whatever my tones, or you can pray for that if you think, you know, but I felt like and feel like in this day and age, we need to open the door and have meaningful conversations about meaningful things, and always availed to the light of the gospel, the light of our Catholic faith, which I desire to be. Number two, just a key theme of tonight, the importance of being engaged, the importance of knowing what's at stake and making solid commitments to not be a kind of sort of Catholic, a kind of sort of Christian where, well, maybe I will. No, God wants us to be part of a missioned community. And we use this phrase, Steph and I, more and more called, we just say missioned friendship. We want, if you will, friendship among the willing. Now, we're going to reach out far and wide and continue to be on the radio program far and wide. But at the very core, we want to be united shoulder to shoulder with missioned friends who, though they're busy with all their other stuff, recognize the need to prioritize time to be iron sharpening iron, to go into the cauldron of the Holy Spirit fire that's going to make us more of what we're meant to be. And so, you know, if that speaks to you in any way, we've mentioned a few indications tonight, whether the Rescue Project at CatholicRevival.us, or if you're wanting as a family to join us and make a general commitment on Sundays for an hour, 6:30 to 7:30, and want to be part of that. Or if you have questions, you disagree, awesome. Hey, you know, I'd appreciate your response to tonight's program. You know, I disagree, Greg, or, you know, you missed something, or I'd like to offer this thought or this idea. Please send me an email, alive@massimpact.us. We'd be very grateful for that. And we do encourage you to partner with us. We are a full-time nonprofit ministry that is committed to marriage and family homes becoming vital places of encounter, of making saints, the cornerstone of civilization. We are all in this mission. And we're at a time where just financially come before you humbly. We're at a time of need. We're so grateful for our benefactors and them journeying with us, the holiness, the witness that they give to us. It doesn't need to be a huge amount. It could be small. It could be great if you are moved right now. But we do ask you to please partner with us. I wouldn't say this. We don't have a storehouse where, oh, we're just going to say this because we need to keep making money. No, there's a need. I'm being honest with you. And we ask for you to partner with us. So at ilovemyfamily.us, click on that partner tab. We'd be very grateful for your loving support. And Steph, you have some thoughts?
Just a closing story, I guess, if
yes,
I may.
Story us up.
So speaking of Magdalena, what a great way to end the show. So this past weekend at Mass, she was having a hard time. They had to go to a Sunday evening Mass. So, you know, just that bedtime, parents, moms in particular, can feel what that means so often with little ones. And so Annie ended up taking her to the back of the church as she was crying. And it was the point of the elevation during Mass. And so Annie, you know, is saying to her and pointing to the Eucharist, saying, look, Jesus, or look, Magdalena, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. Look, there's Jesus. Mm. And Magdalena looks up and through her tears says, good to see you, Jesus. So may
amazing.
That be the final word of encouragement, that through the tears and fatigue and grumpiness and whatever we're dealing with, may we be open to the grace to say, good to see you, Jesus, through those tears.
Amen. So blessed to be on the journey with you. Until next time,
God bless you.
God, I'm still counting my blessings. I can't count that high.